Holy Spirit, please help me be a good servant today. I don't want to push an agenda, and I don't want to pull an agenda. I just want to stand in the best filling of you and balance I can possibly be as a pastor of this place. Lord, anoint me to do that job this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. This is the 3-in-1 series, talking about the Holy Spirit. We've been wading through, you know. Jesus has been saying some really MIP stuff, not VIP stuff, MIP stuff, most important stuff, right? Jesus, he started the introduction of the Holy Spirit. He started talking to the guys about, hey, do some things. And the disciples were kind of like, what? And the basic of synopsis, if you weren't here for, this is season 1 of 3-in-1, episodes 1 and 2, which is past 2 Sundays. I'm going to synopsize it for you, okay? Easy. It's this. Jesus said, I'm going to send my spirit and you need it. Is that a good synopsis? See or no? See or no? See. See. All right. Say see. If you don't know what that means, it's Spanish or yes. You could, you know, a multicultural church here. This is a subtitle of episode 3 is I Order Before Elephants. Episodes 1 and 2, the Holy Spirit came in and he talked about what it's going to mean for the church, and episode 3 is going to be a little bit about order, and it's going to be a little bit about elephants, if I get there. I believe order is being responsible with what God gave you to do as a job, right? How many of you know that getting a thing is different than taking care of a thing? Come on, getting a thing. How many of your first fishes made it really far? How many first people's hamsters lived a real good long life? Uh-oh, I'm picking right. Come on. How many of your first relationships are still intact? Oh! Come on, church. I'm just trying to help this morning. Like, we got to take care of a thing, not just get a thing, right? So being responsible, best. I'm going to do my best to be under the Lord and talk about what's important. And if you agree, say amen. It's Samoan for amen. Today, we start with Jesus. He's kind of finishing up his little talking stroll. And he's on a talking stroll, and we'll start in John 16, 1 through 4. I have told you these things. If you don't know what that is, go back to chapters 14 and 15, and you can read them because we discussed them over the past couple weeks. I have told you these things so that you will not stumble or be caught off guard and fall away. Say, thank you, Jesus. Yeah, get ready. Jesus is about to drop some major news. You don't say that without dropping some major news, right? Some stuff his church needs to know. And if you're going to keep following him, you're going to need to know this is one of the major reasons you're going to need the Holy Spirit. Like, the Holy Spirit is great gifts and ministries and fruit. It's wonderful. But without the Holy Spirit, they're not going to make this next part of the journey that he's asking them to do. So he's dropping some major facts on them. He says this to them as they're strolling along, talking about the Holy Spirit. He says, hey, they're going to put you out. What? They're going to put you out. Ever been put out? Because you're believing put out. They're going to put you out of the synagogues and make you outcasts. And a time is coming when, way sooner than they realize. Like, sometimes, like, you know, when the prophets are like, and God will do this, you're like, I probably got 500 years, you know, I can straighten that up later. This is coming sooner than they think. A time is coming when whoever kills you will think that he is offering service to God. And they will do these things. And they will do these things. They will do these things. Because they have not known the Father or me. Say 3-in-1. Remember, Pastor Judy reminded us last week. He said it's all the same. It's all the same. I have told you these things so that when their time comes, you remember that I told you about them. It's like Dr. Heidi and I on the calendar. Remember, I told you to put in your calendar. What do you mean you didn't know? What time is worship in the park start? It's been announced a week. Do you put in your calendar? I told you these things so you could remember them. That's kind of Jesus, you know, right there. I told you these things. I did not say these things at the beginning because I was with you. What's that mean? When you're with me, you're untouchable. That enemy had no He couldn't do anything to you because I was with you. One of the great analogies I have of this, and I will temper how it was shared, but I have a friend, many friends in the Marine Corps, and they love verses like this because they go, Jesus was a baller Marine. I go, what do you mean? He goes, when you walk into a off base someplace and you're in the world and you walk through rough streets, if you're walking Marines, people go, never mind. Jesus is basically saying, I was with you, so no one's going to touch you. If you want to walk around the streets of Elmira, my hometown, safe, find someone with an I at the end of their name or an O. Because it's Italian land. You're like, walk with Mr. Fusco. You're fine. Go anywhere you want to. Right? Jesus, like, no. They couldn't touch you. Why? Because I was with you. Right? I didn't say those things to you before because they couldn't touch you, but they're about to touch you. And you need my spirit to handle that. Right? John 16, 5 through 7. But now I'm going to him who sent me. And none of you asked me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart and taken complete possession of them. It's real hard. What I do for a living, I've had my own trauma. Anybody have their own trauma in life? Anybody not have some trauma? I'd like to talk to you. And what I do for a living, I hear trauma all the time. Deep, horrible, difficult traumas in people's lives, you know? And I've experienced, I don't know if you've ever experienced sorrow like that before. Sorrow, something happened in your life, and it took complete control of you. Didn't get out of bed for a couple days. Just rocked your world. Anybody? He's like, I'm telling you guys, and you're just, this. Like, you can't think about anything else. You hear what Jesus said? He's still talking. I don't know, but I keep thinking about what he just said. I miss everything he's saying right now. Why? Because I can't stop thinking about what he just said. I'm overwhelmed with it, right? Every time, though, what helps me in those moments, I think about the trauma or the thing I'm experiencing. I think about some of the people of the past, but I have brothers right now in the world that love and serve Jesus, and I couldn't carry their shoes and how they deal with the trauma they deal with. I couldn't handle some of the things they're going through. I understand the statement, being taken complete control, but Jesus said, you can't stay there. You can't stay where sorrow completely takes control of your life, no matter what it is. You can't stay there, right? But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts and taken complete possession of them. That sounds rough. But I tell you the truth. Like, I'm not sugarcoating. God loves us enough to tell us the truth. Like, I didn't know. No. God warns us all the time. He said there's no excuse for I didn't know. Right? He said, I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you these things. Why? Because they're going to happen. I don't want you to get caught off guard and fall away because why didn't you tell me? What you tell me is going to be rough. Like, I get saved. I thought I was just going to float around. I got with Jesus, right? And I was going to be spreading out all these daffodils. And, you know, I'm going to find money in the streets. I found another $1 million, Harold. It's great being saved. Yeah. I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I'm going away. For if I do not go away, if I don't go away, the helper, the comforter, the advocate, the intercessor, the counselor, the strengthener, the standby, said the Holy Spirit. He's got lots of ways of expressing himself, doesn't he? More than even in the book. If I do not go, the Holy Spirit will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him, the Holy Spirit, to you. Jesus is emphasizing something here, right? Let's go get some feels from the Message version. That was the Amplified. Let's get some feels in. I want to get some feels in, right? If you want to, go read this verse in the Amplified, you know. I encourage it. I study it in the Amplified, and sometimes I throw in some feels, Ed, you know. John 16, 8 through 11 in the Message. When he comes, say the Holy Spirit, he'll expose the error of the godless world's view of sin. He'll expose the error of the godless world's view of sin. Exposing truth from lies, that's a gift. That's a gift from the Holy Spirit. Like, imagine that, you know, everybody, maybe your first relationship and you wish you would have had that gift, truth from lies. Man, I was being played. She had four other dudes on the side. Darn it. Should have had the Holy Spirit then. Truth from lies is a good one. You know, if you're playing Jeopardy, oh, I got this one. Why? I got truth from lies. I got this one. Exposing the truth from lies is a gift. Righteousness and judgment. Say more good gifts. Yeah, more good gifts. Righteousness and judgment. He'll show them that. It's very important. Whenever the Holy Spirit wants to show you anything, that's a gift. Anytime the Holy Spirit wants to show you anything, even if it's conviction, that's a gift. That's a warning. Say, hey, I'm trying to warn you. Why? Because I love you. Because you're going to end up in time out. You know. He'll show them that. He'll show them that their refusal to believe in me is their basic sin. What's the basic sin? Refusal to believe in me. He said, let's bow it all down to it. Refusal to believe in me is their basic sin. That righteousness comes from above. Above where I am with the Father, out of their sight, out of their control, that judgment takes place. As the ruler of this godless world is brought to trial and convicted. Now, if you're an old schooler or a thug for Jesus, you can say this, stomp on the devil's head. That's where they got it from, right there. Yeah, he's getting his. Yeah, I got grace for everybody, but he is getting his. That's just a paraphrase. It's Pastor Sean translation. All right. Then Jesus repeats something that he said in chapter 15, Stroll, and it's muy importante. John 16, 12 through 15, in the Amplified again. I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear to hear them now. Now, usually that's not typically the way you start good news, right? I got a lot to tell you, but you just can't handle it. It's usually I got a lot to say, but you are obviously in a weakened condition, emotionally unstable, and you can't handle this information. That always makes you feel good when someone approaches it that way. Now I'm worrying, and now I think you think I'm an idiot. Okay. You can't bear to handle them right now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, God's Spirit, the three in one, he, the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth. Wow, that's an amazing gift. He will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak of his own initiative, but he will speak whatever he hears from the Father. The message, say that's the good news. What's he going to hear from the Father? The message, right? The message regarding his Son. Yay! And he will disclose to you what is to come, another fine gift. He will glorify and honor me because he, the Holy Spirit, will take what is mine and disclose it to you. And all the things the Father has that are mine, because of this, he said, he, the Spirit, will take from what is mine and reveal it to you. Let's make our first jump. We're getting out of 16. Bam, going right to 17. John 17, 1 through 12. And the message is going to be it. Jesus said these things, then raising his eyes in prayer. He's talking right in the middle of like, hey, the Holy Spirit, you're going to need him. It's going to be tough. They're going to put you out of synagogues. And all of a sudden, he just drops into prayer. I know Dr. Huddy and I do that to people sometimes. We shock them. You feel like, can I pray for you? Like, yeah. You met like later, not at Walmart. Like the people in catchers are going, what's going on over there? We're just praying for you. Ask for prayer. Jesus just drops prayer right here. And the guy, but I want you to hear what he has to pray for you. He's praying for you. He said, Father, it's time. Say it's time. Father, it's time. It's time to display the bright splendor of your Son, so the Son in turn may show your bright splendor. You put him in charge of everything human so he might give. Give real and eternal life to all in his charge. Say gracias. And this is the real and eternal life, that you know him. That they know him. That they know him. Know you, the one and only true God. And check this out. He goes third person. God goes third person, right? He just drops it, you know. He's praying, know you, the one and only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you sent. He's praying it. I love that. Like, yeah, do it, Jesus. The three in one right there. The guys have probably had their heads spinning. We've heard it over centuries, the gospel. They're hearing it like, wow. Wow. Right. I glorified you on earth. How? By completing down to the last detail what you assigned me to do. Say, I'm the church. That's my goal too. Down to the last detail. We need help, don't we? Lord, send me your Spirit. Down to the I'm not a detail guy. I'm not a detail. It depends. I'm compulsive about some details. Other things I could care less. You'd be shocked. Like, you don't care about that? No, you just put it in the microwave and you're hoping it's going to cook? Yeah, it'll be fine. I'll check on it, you know. And now, Father, glorify me with your very own splendor, the very splendor I had. The very splendor I had in your presence before the world was the world. He's like, listen, I'm standing right in front of you. The three-in-one God is standing in front of you right now. Can you imagine that moment? And now, Father, glorify me with your very own splendor, the very splendor I had from the beginning in your presence before the world. I spelled out your character in detail. I love that, how it's phrased there, because Jesus talked a little bit of law, but he talked a whole lot about God's character and why those laws even were there and what the intent of those laws were. So he said, they got your laws. Like, we got books of laws that you said they got to know this. And they got to do this. And it makes them healthy and whole and happy spiritually, emotionally, and physically. And they got all that. They don't know you. They just know your decrees. I came so they could know you. Right? I showed character in detail. I spelled out your character in detail to the men and women you gave me. It's not just the 12. Right? They were yours in the first place. Then you gave them to me. And they now have done what you said. Say bravo, disciples. Right? They know you now, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that everything you gave me is firsthand from you. For the message you gave me, I gave them. And they took it and were convinced that I came from you. They believe that you sent me. I pray for them. Check this out. I'm not praying for the God-rejecting world. Is that kind of trippy right there? I'm not praying for everybody out there. He said, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for those you gave me, for they are yours by right. Everything mine is yours and yours is mine. And my life is on display in them. Now my life is on display in them. Here's our fact in this. He has to be seen in you. He has to be seen in you. I'm not a person that likes to be looked at. I'm not a stage person. I don't like to be looked at. But Jesus told me a long time ago, I made you a certain way, and you're hermit-like, and that's fine. I made you that way. But people need to look at you so they can see me sometimes. So when they look at you, are they seeing me? And sometimes I have to say, not today so well, Lord. Not today. I was on a long drive on the highway. It's not my best Jesus time. We're supposed to be looked at sometimes. So what do they see? For I'm no longer going to be visible in the world. Why? Because he sent us. They'll continue in the world while I return to you. Holy Father, guard them. Guard them as they pursue this life that you conferred as a gift through me. So they can be one heart and mind. Man, isn't that a gift? And one heart and mind. It was nice to be at the park. The three churches were just worshiping Jesus and there's no other agenda. Beautiful, you know. As we are one heart and mind, the three in one. As long as I was with them, I guarded them in pursuit of the life you gave me through me. I even posted a night watch and not one of them got away. Except for that rebel bent on destruction. That's kind of how I read it. You know? I don't know if it's that way. It's what it says. It says the exception that proved the rule of the scriptures. Now, in the three-in-one series, this stroll directly with Jesus was about to end. He's talking to him about it's about to end. And they're going to have to experience a death, burial, and resurrection. We're going to have to go through that. And then he said, I'm going to send his spirit. So let's go ahead. If you're a jumper, a turner, a tapper, or a flipper, you know, I see there's some paper Bibles out there. Yes, I love it. Tap, flip, turn, you know, whatever you got to do. Acts 2, 1 through 13 in the message. And when the feast of Pentecost came, after the death, burial, and resurrection, the container of the Holy Spirit was broken and rose again. And when the feast of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. I have a pastor say something about that. Being all together in one place, there's something about that. There is something about being all together in one place. And without warning, here's a fact. Without warning. So do not ever get cocky enough to think you always know what God is up to and how he's going to do it and how he's going to show up. He told them, hey, I'm coming. Yeah, that means, let's look at Isaiah. He's got to come this way, and he's got to come that way. And I'm feeling that he would never come this way. Don't. Without warning, he'll do things. That's what he does. There was a sound like a strong wind. Say like. Like a strong, like a gale force, a sound. They're trying to describe this to us, right? No one could tell where it came from. It filled the whole building. Then, say like a wildfire, the Holy Spirit thread through their ranks. And they started speaking in, I want to stop here for just a quick second. The original text actually says they started hearing it. They were speaking one language, but the people that heard it in their own language. And that will be confirmed later. So it's not like, hey, wow, they're speaking Russian. No, he's speaking. No, they are speaking some heavenly language, but everyone heard their own language. Right. Speaking in a number of different languages that the Holy Spirit prompted them. There were many Jews staying in Jerusalem just then. Oh, of course, that's a good time. He's going to really talk to the Jews, right? There are many Jews staying, devout pilgrims from all over the world. When they heard the sound, they came on the run. Then when they heard one after another, their own mother tongues being spoken, they were thunderstruck. I like that. They were thunderstruck. They couldn't for the life of them figure out what was going on. And they kept saying, aren't these Galileans? Like, man, aren't you from AJ? I mean, I know you. You found God and got filled with the Holy Spirit. That's crazy, you know. How come we're hearing them talk in our various mother tongues? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, visitors from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, immigrants from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, even Cretans and Arabs. Who needs the gospel? Everybody. Well, they're the enemy. No, they're not. They're created by God in his image, and they need the gospel. Cretans and Arabs. I'm just moving on. They're speaking our language, describing God's mighty works. Their heads were spinning. They couldn't make head or tail of it. They talk back and forth confused. What's going on here? And if you're broken like me, I realized something right there. When I heard what's going on here, I went, that's where Buffalo Springsteen stole it. What's happening here? What it is ain't exactly clear. Like, what's going on? I have no idea. Jesus did not prep us for this. He said, send the Holy Spirit to us. And this is going on, right? And then it says this. Others joked they're drunk on cheap wine. Say ridiculous. That's right. Peter even says it later. He says, that's ridiculous, you know. We'll keep looking in Scripture for the Holy Spirit baptism because it doesn't stop there. Because a lot of church likes it to stop there. Well, that was for Pentecost. Back in the day. We're going to fast forward into Acts. There's no way I'm getting through all my notes today. You might get the icing cupcakes next week. Acts 8, 14 through 17, the Amplified. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had accepted the word of God, so that's key. That's key. They sent Peter and John to them. Then they came down and prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not fallen on any of them yet. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They got baptized. And some people, well, that's when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Apparently, not according to the scripture here, you can have two different opportunities. That happened to me. I was baptized in water as a baby, didn't really make a choice there. So I chose, once I got saved as a semi-adult, I was, you know, almost 20. I wasn't really an adult. I started being an adult about 40-something. It's another story. But then I baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I had Spirit-filled experiences in my life that I don't expect anybody else to have. But I was such a Paul-like guy, such an anti-establishment, I've been burned. This is a bunch of malarkey. He had to knock me off a horse. I got to see visions and things. God just, he needed to get a hold of a thick skull guy like me, you know? They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Say, I want what God desires for me. Yeah. Now, I've seen this done amazingly and authentically. And it changed my life. You know, I was raised Catholic. I was hardcore heathen. So coming to the church was like, what? And then I saw authentic moves of the Holy Spirit in my life and other people's lives. But I also, over the course of my life, seen this manufactured and icky. Makes me want to throw up. I'm just being honest. You're going to get a whole lot of honesty in this series. I hope you have more time. We're going to talk about elephants a little bit in a minute. I got some time. I'm doing good with it. Elephants, at least for me, where I stand as elephants, you know. You never heard the saying, there's an elephant in the room, something uncomfortable, you just want to talk, pretend it's not there, you know. Ever go to the mall, you know, and some kids, little kids wigging out, losing their mind. Like, and you, everyone in the mall hears this, and you just walk by like, I don't even notice that's happening. That's not even going on, you know. It's whatever. Yeah. Like, we do that with some of the, what I think are the elephants. At least for me, where I stand is just the senior pastor. You may get some variation of this from them, and they can. I'm just telling you where I stand as the overseer of Sunday services. I want to say real clearly, I believe in the Holy Spirit. I've been blessed with a couple gifts, and I'm grateful for them. I also believe the Holy Spirit is both needed and available today, 100%. But those are not my elephants. They might be yours. You might have been raised like the Holy Spirit. They might be your elephants. And I hope by the end of this series they're not your elephants, right? But my elephants, I got pictures of elephants to make it sweet and nice. Yes. My elephants, okay. My elephants are related to a couple of the gifts, okay? My elephants are tongues and prophecy. Yes, I pray in tongues quite a bit, but you never hear it from me up here unless you're real close to me during worship or you're in my bedroom. And that's rare for any of you, I think. Yeah. I believe in the prophetic gifts. I absolutely believe in the prophetic gifts. It actually changed my life. The prophetic gifts changed my life. I came into a spirit-filled service for like the third time ever, and I had this great plan because I was such a screw-up. I had a good plan. I was trying to do it on my own, Joe. Like, all right, I was working out. I had like 3% body fat. I was ripped. I'm going to go into the service because I was real smart, picking the Air Force, and I'm going to make some money. I'm working in the Secret Service. I'm going to be next to the president. Boom, that's my new job. So I started working out, right? And I signed up for the Air Force because I'm ready. And then, I had a plan. I want to be a good, productive human because I was an anti-productive human, you know? And I step into this church service, and it's great. And they said, oh, there's this guy. He's got gift of prophecy. He's been proved. And it's great. So prophecy, like, old school, like he's going to have beard and locust coming out. What's his deal, you know? No? Okay. No. And he gave me, he said, young man, I have something to say to you. I was like, oh, dude, I hate being called out by anybody. And this church was like half the size of this at the time. So I was like, come on. He's like, hey, God wants, I see you dressed in a uniform and it's blue from head to toe. And God said, you made that plan yourself, but I got a different plan for you. And you need to shred that plan up. And they walked away. And I'm like, and that was challenged, Harold. Because it felt like, God, how can this guy know this? I went to my recruiter, Brownie. He loved it. I said, hey, God spoke to me. And I'm not going in the Air Force. He goes, you signed my signature? Let me get out his paperwork. Signed. You're going. Well, God said, I'm not going. He's like, we'll see you, Capozzi. Yeah. Okay. And for like 2 months, I waited for that day. They're going to come pick me up and take me away. Never came. I made other plans and ruined other things after that, but I believe in those gifts, so I'm not anti those gifts, but I also believe in order. I believe in proof, being known and being proven. Like the guy that spoke to me had been proven by Bishop Pierce through the course of life. He's seen his character and the content, and when he shared something, he saw the fruit of those things being shared. And it takes a while to build those relationships, you know? So here, how new season runs is how I feel comfortable. There's no pulling somebody over for a prophetic word and giving it to them if it's direction or correction, unless a pastor's with you or you've been approved. What's that do? It protects you. I've seen a lot of wacky things said to people. God said you're to marry me. Uh-huh. That's the third time a prophet came and told that pretty girl this week, I hit you with a stick. You know, I've seen it abused. We don't do that here. If you do that here, you may be pulled over by me, gently reminded, unless I know you in that gift, you've been approved, stop pulling sheep over and give them directional, correctional words. You want to pull Cody over and tell him, your beard looks great. The Lord wants you to know he loves you. You can do that. But like maybe you have a word for somebody. And so it's like, but I'm feeling this from God. You know what's a great thing to do? Come and talk to me. Because that's how you get approved. There's times I've said people, get up on the mic right now and share that. I feel that's God. There's times I say, I need you to sit and pray on this, see what God's saying. Or I'll say most of the time, you know what? Grab Pastor Jody and go tell Sharon with Pastor Jody the thing the Lord put on your heart. I'm not crushing the gifts, but I'm talking about order so we don't have damage. I've seen too much damage. Right? I'll share a scripture on why we operate at New Season this way. But here's my thing. This is where Pastor Heidi's going to be very uncomfortable, so don't look at her. She never goes, and she's like, oh, no. Disclaimers. You know, sometimes I think disclaimers are important. Don't read it yet. It'll trip you out. It's kind of like that tag on your mattress that says, don't cut off. It's a federal offense. And you're like, yeah, like, am I starting a pillow thievering ring? I mean, off. Some of you are like, you cut it off? Yeah, I'll cut it off. She won't cut it off. I will. But I'm also the guy, if I'm working something in the microwave and I'm trying to, I'll look at the directions kind of, I'll go, oh, 50, and I'll put it in for 50 seconds. And my daughter might come by and go, you put that in for 50 seconds? Yes. Did you read the directions? Well, I look. She goes, that said 50% power. Or that said, put 50% of the package in. And you stuck the whole thing in and wrote 50. Yeah, I didn't quite read the instructions. I didn't quite get them all in. This is going to be my disclaimer, okay? And if you know me, you know that's true. And if you don't, ask about someone other than me. This is me. The next few scriptures are not an excuse or justification as some would use it. It is not self-promotional in my intent. Please know that. I do not believe in pastoral tyranny of any kind, but I believe his word gives me, as someone he set here, as senior pastor, a responsibility that I take seriously. I try my best to love and care for the people that are here. That's my tag. So, concern this will be torqued up a little bit. Mahalo. 1 Thessalonians 5:12. Now, we ask you, brothers and sisters, to appreciate those who diligently work among you, recognize, acknowledge, respect your leaders who are in charge over you in the Lord, and who give you instruction, that we ask that you appreciate them and hold them in the highest esteem and love because of their work on your behalf. This is the part I'm going to emphasize, that part. Live in peace with one another. We should do our best to do this, right? We're supposed to seek the best for each other. So sometimes that means minimizing conflicts. I've seen spirit-filled people argue with non-spirit-filled people and destroy the gospel. So you weren't being led by the Holy Spirit. You're trying to show off some kind of gift or some kind of arrogance that you had more of God than they did. Doesn't sound like God to me. I'm just saying. Live at peace with one another. We earnestly urge you, believers, admonish those who are out of line. Admonish those who are out of line. The undisciplined, the unruly, the disorderly. Encourage the timid. Encourage the timid who lack spiritual courage. Help the spiritually weak. Be very patient with everyone. Say everyone. That one hurts every time I read it this week. Everyone, Lord. Man, there's someone from Minnesota that was on this trail that I'm very still upset with. Come on, everyone. Be patient with everyone. Okay, everyone. Lord, I'm working on me. This always controlling your temper. That's a great gift. Always controlling your temper. Not doing or saying the thing that popped into your head. I'm super good at not doing it, but I feel the need to say it lots of times. I see what I'm saying? That's our problem, right? We got to work on that, right? That's the whole. But without the Holy Spirit, guys like you and I can't do it. If you ask anybody that knew me before 19, is he a time bomb hothead willing to wreck something and go postal any second? They go, oh, yeah, that's him. We love that guy, but that is him. First in, you know? But that's not who I am now. I pull that back only because of the Holy Spirit. Right. One of the jobs of the church leader is to keep order. So I want to debunk maybe a little things about shepherds right now. Good shepherds, anyways. You ready? A good shepherd is not placed as a leader to be a sheep cuddler. Well, they shear sheep. They prune off things off sheep. And you see those pictures, beautiful pictures, with Jesus carrying a lamb around his neck. You know the story behind that is that was a lamb that wasn't listening and doing the flock, so they broke its leg, so he had to carry it around. He wasn't just like, I just need a little lamb love. No, he was correcting a lamb in that moment. Right? Shepherds both carry rods and staffs. Shepherds are not responsible for sheep reproducing. Shepherds are not responsible for that. Shepherds are not self-promoting. I've seen a problem with that in the body of Christ a lot. A good shepherd does do these things, though. He leads sheep to healthy eating and watches out for trouble. Good shepherds watch out for trouble. That's why I have these conversations before we talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because I don't want trouble in your life, and I don't want disorder or something to harm you because someone maybe wasn't mature in their gift, and I don't want that damage. So I'm trying to be a shepherd. Shepherds look out for the weather. We can't eat over here. Why? Because the weather's stormy this season. Shepherds look out for wolves and foxes and bears, and sometimes shepherds step to giants. That's a shepherd's job. When I'm talking about this before the Holy Spirit, because as a shepherd directing the service and directing people, I really want to use extreme care. I'm serious about the job. I'm not controlling. I believe in the gifts. 1 Corinthians 14, 39 through 40. Therefore, believers, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues. Excellent. Please, I encourage it. When you get home, use your prayer language. Use your prayer language. You have it. If you don't, ask God for one. When I was praying for Reverend Brooks this week in my room, I'm blessed with that gift because I'm so bottled up and so intense about it. I can't, like, the words can't come fast enough as my thoughts, so it just helps me pray. Like, Lord, you know what this is. I don't know, but I'm emotionally pouring this out to you. Use that. It's your intimate personal time. It says, speaking unknown tongue edifies himself. It's your intimate time. If you don't have the gift, that's okay. But if you do, or you want that from God, ask him. He gives gifts liberally, but use it in that time. I'm not forbidding that, so you use it. And even at Sunday service, is Ethan here? He was here a second ago. Babies. Okay. Well, Ethan gets the closest to me than anybody in worship. Sometimes, like, we're right up next to each other just singing our hearts out, you know? If one of us had bagels, the other one knows it, you know? And as much as I stand close to him, I was going to ask him in front of you all, have you ever heard me pray my prayer language? I do every Sunday in worship. But I don't shout it out. Right? If you have something, come to me as pastor. Right? I would love to talk about those things. I want you to have gifts that God has. But I also want you to be tested and have potential so I know. Like, maybe God's got a gift in you. If you never come to me, we can't. I don't know that. And I want to develop what pastures you can eat from so you can grow as a healthy sheep on what God's called you to do, right? Yeah. Do not be forbid speaking in unknown tongues, but all things must be done appropriately and in an orderly manner. Nobody knows the trouble and confusion I've seen with this. Issues with random shouting out. Man, I've seen people, good people, that maybe didn't know Jesus, came to the service, and someone's shouting out, and it freaked them out, and they took off. Tell me where that was the Holy Spirit. said he draws on men. Maybe if they heard their own language, there would have been an interpretation of that. Dude, homeboy's speaking Italian. No, he's not, but I'm glad you heard that. You know? But that is only one reason I try to be careful. I look at authority and accountability very seriously. And Jesus said to the Roman soldier, remember? This guy, he gets faith in the kingdom because he understands authority. God's word also says to know those, right? Prove it, those gifts. I'm hugely careful in that area. The other one that I'm most concerned about is blasphemy. Blasphemy, I don't want any potential of blasphemy in the church. We're not perfect. We're going to miss things, but I'm going to be careful, right? Blasphemy is two different things. Blasphemy is saying something is evil when it was the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's not for today. That can't be a move of God. Be careful if that's your camp. Let God work on your heart there. That's all I'm saying. Let God work on your heart there. But also blasphemy is this, falsely saying God said something when he didn't say it. And I've seen that a lot too. That's why we're careful. I'm anti-blasphemy. Matthew 12:31 in the King James. Wherefore I say to you, Jesus is talking, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be given unto man. You know, I read that, go, well, you got to contradict yourself. Then I felt like the Holy Spirit said, no, you were the Lord of your life. Remember before you met me? Yeah, you were your God. That's very blasphemous of you. Oh, yeah, you did forgive me from that. Thank you, Jesus. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Say, it's good to be careful. I want the gifts. And if you have something from God, especially prophetically, I want to see that developed in your life. But we don't shout it out here at New Season. Why? Because we're not about causing problems. We're about causing unity and growth, right? Yeah. James 3:1-2. Not many should become teachers serving an official teaching capacity. My brothers and sisters, for you know that we as teachers will be judged by a higher standard. That's a gulp right there. We should pay attention to that. I take that seriously. I'm not trying to be controlling. I love when God, we've had miracle signs and wonders. You ever had a miracle from God in your life? Raise your hand. So miracle, you can, yeah, we've had them. That's wonderful. And I love the Holy Spirit moving, but we do things decently in order too. Right? That's what we do. Higher standard. Because we have assumed greater accountability and more condemnation if we teach incorrectly. I think all pastors should read that on a regular basis. Keep us straight, right? For we all stumble and sin in many ways. Say, only Jesus is perfect. So when you blow it in this, you're going to blow it in this sometimes. And that's okay. Because if you come and say, you know, I've got this word for Pastor Sharon. I just feel like God's saying, she's going to ride a pumpkin around. And I go, okay. I would not say okay to that, but say I did. Guess who has to eat that before God? That's on me. That's on me. I take that seriously. I believe in the gifts of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and the church needs it like never before. You need it like never before. You need fresh content of the Holy Spirit in your life this year for the things he's asked you to do. And not just the things he's asked you to do, to see people looking at you and see more Jesus in you, right? It says, we all stumble and fall many ways. If anyone does not stumble, he's perfect. There's only been one, right? Able to bridle his whole body and rein in his entire nature. But still, we should look to limit mistakes, right? Say, God has gifts. God has order. Those are two challenges of the body of Christ, as I see it. I hope to break into other gifts at some point in time, beyond helper and advocate and standby, beyond the gift of even revelation of repentance. I'm talking gifts to witness and share your testimony, right? The gifts used to empower and make changes in our lives. I was talking to Hannah before service, and what was the Holy Spirit, the thing he did? We're talking in there, and I said, I'm going to use it. Night terrors. It's not in the book, but when she came here as an intern, before she was my daughter-in-law, I recruited her. It was great. But before all that, she said, I have night terrors my whole life. I wake up and have night terrors. And she got baptized in the Holy Spirit And she hasn't had a night terror since. That's awesome, right? That's God doing something. That's amazing. God does many things in our lives, right? And you guys should share those stories with each other, encourage each other in the faith. There's some crazy stories out there. I mean, you want to hear Harold's stories, you need to go get a cup of coffee and take him for breakfast. Because that's a long story, and he likes breakfast. You know, I'm just saying. God sent his spirit as a gift, and we should be responsible and mature with it and use it in order. I'm not going to be a perfect overseer, but I'm trying. I'm trying to teach that his gifts are needed, and we should desire them, and we should be under authority, and we should have authentic relationship with them, right, and with one another. So I think I am going to keep us there today. And I'm going to ask you, if you want prayer, do you need more of him? If that's you, I'd love to have the pastoral staff come up with me and lay hands on you. If you're like, you know what, Pastor, I do need something from God. I need his helper. I need his advocate. You need something from God, pray for you. But maybe you're like, you know, I need so much more of God, and I've really never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I was afraid someone's going to grab me by the face and push me to the ground and start screaming in tongues at me. Here's the thing that I can't stand in church in general, and wow, I'm way out here now. I'm in risky danger. At New Season, by the grace of God, you'll never see this. When people are praying for them, you should receive that baptism of the Holy Spirit because it's the evidence of it. And so just repeat after me. Stop that. That's manipulation. Just say the alphabet backwards. Garbage. God showed up or he didn't. Don't manufacture it. Maybe he just didn't show up for that. But maybe later on your night terrors might be gone. Or you might have courage to be a witness. Or you might be able to say no to something you've been saying yes to for so long and it's been tearing your life apart. And the Holy Spirit said no. Or you might have courage to go, I got to follow God and tear up my blueprints. So it's more than just receiving the gift of tongues. Though I hope some of you that don't have it get it today. Man, it increases my prayer language because I'm not good with my words anyways. Most of you know that. So it's good to have a language that I don't know because I'm not messing it up. But maybe you just need the Holy Spirit in general. And you've never had that. So if that's you, I'd like to invite you to come up and we're going to pray for you. And if not you, you can just stand and I'll pray us out. But it happened in the service just like this for me. So I'm going to lay hands on me. And I received the Holy Spirit, and that was the most life-altering moment for me. And he wants to alter our lives more like him. And he wants us to be more fruitful. Without his Spirit, it's very difficult to not be fruitful. Pastor Justin, would you pray for that? And if you are maybe filled with the Holy Spirit, and maybe you raise your hands to the folks here and just agree with us that God would do some things that Ed needs, Sabrina needs, and Kenny needs. So, Father, this evening, this morning, as we head into our week, Lord, I pray your body would have a fresh breath of your Holy Spirit. Not the awkward, weird, icky stuff, Father. Authentic Jesus in our lives this year. Were you doing signs and wonders in us? And actually not just in us, but through us, Lord. That you send the people at New Season out into the world, like your disciples, full of you. The people are looking at them and bringing you to them. Empower your church, New Season, Love Gospel, Lord God, The Rock, St. George's, Father. And empower your church by your Spirit once again to go out and finish it to the very last detail. We would finish the job you left us here to do to the very last detail. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.